Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah.
But hey, enough of my yakking. What do you say? Let's boogie.
And that's my cue to start the show. Welcome to another Thursday night edition of the Hard Rock and Sports Show, live from high atop Hard Rock and Sports Studios in beautiful scenic Monroe, New Jersey. We are your three-hour weekly get-together. We bring you all the biggest news from around the worlds of hard rock, heavy metal, and of course, the wide world of sports. And guys, welcome to Thursday, May the 27th. Woo! We are closing in on 6 months already of this year, boys and girls. And I'm glad you're spending this Thursday night with us, and lots to talk about. I hope you guys have enjoyed your week. It's been pretty nice weather, I got to tell you. It's beautiful at some points this week. And we're looking at a little cold this week, 60 degrees, maybe dipping into the 50s. I'm going to assume that that's the last bit of that we'll get for the rest of this year, but who the hell knows? Based on the last 2 years, guys, who knows what we're going to get. But speaking of which, I've seen that Governor Mussolini and Dropkick Murphy have decided to let us poor peasants have a little bit of life back again. We've been a little maskless. It's been very nice. I've been out and about, no mask, and I see every day a little bit more people walking the streets. I've been to a few stores, a Target in Staten Island, people walking around without a mask on. Yeah, people walking around with a mask, good for you. Good for you. If that's how you feel, then there's nothing wrong with that. Me, I'm maskless, baby. I'm maskless whenever possible. Let it flow. I want to go back to being normal again. So, but normal is relative on the Hard Rock and Sports Show. So, again, welcome to Thursday night. We got a lot to get to tonight. First off, I want to thank our good friends over at the Barstool and Band Talk Show, Dave and Alex and Sean, for having me on their panel last night with some of the boys from RFL Records and Rooster and John. And so I had a great time for an hour talking music and sports with those guys last night. I was honored last minute to get a little invite onto the show. We had a good time talking with those guys. So thank you to Sean, Alex, and Dave. And please, guys, support Barstools and Band Talk. Great, great podcast. It was a blast. It was a lot of fun last night. So check those guys out. Remember our good friends at Black Sasquatch, Ted and the Bub and the boys. Let's see, they got a show coming up June 12th. Let's see, hold on, at the Buzzbin. We can't find my notes on the Buzzbin show. Hold on a second. Yeah, it's June 12th at the Buzzbin. Hold on, maybe it's on page one. Ah, there it is. Black Sasquatch returns to the stage June 12th, along with our good friends from So High out at the Buzzbin, 331 Cleveland Avenue, Canton, Ohio. Make sure you check out both So High, great stuff, and our good friends from Black Sasquatch, June the 12th at the Buzzbin, Canton, Ohio, 331 Cleveland Avenue in Canton, Ohio. Make sure you guys get out and check out both of those bands. Good dudes and great music. And getting back to normal, like I said, folks, so a lot of people walking the streets this week. Well, a lot more people this week walking the streets without a mask on. So that's that was cool. I think we got a guest tonight, Danny Zalisco, concert promoter to the stars. It's supposed to join us, but I haven't heard anything. So that's wide open. We got a lot to get to tonight. We're going to talk about WrestleMania 2. I'm on a wrestling kick. The Ultimate Warriors bio. I watched that last night. We'll talk about Spygate and Arlen Specter. Does anybody really want to believe that Arlen Specter, the guy who came up with the biggest gross lie of all time, the magic bullet theory, do we honestly want to give that guy any credibility to the fact that he says that somebody tried to bribe him to not do these and his family, or somebody's linking former President Trump to it? But do we really want to give any credibility, anything that Arlen Specter said? I mean, seriously, the guy came up with the magic bullet theory, the single dumbest theory of all time, besides the fact that the Jets are on the rise. You know, the New York Jets are a laughing stock, and I control the mic at this moment. So I'm gonna treat my partner in crime as the bitch he is, because his team is lower than dirt. They're on the rise from 3 wins to 4 wins and back to 2 the year after. They're on the rise from 4th pick in the draft to 3 pick in the third pick in the draft. So I'm letting him have it now. I'm going to give him his fair share Also want to thank my good friend Matt Salitri for his Cowboys bringing on Ben McAdoo as a consultant. Imagine, you want to bring Ben McAdoo on the consultant what? How to wreck your team? How to be a total disgrace in football? Yeah, bring Ben McAdoo onto it with that joke of a franchise. Good job, Jerry. Stay alive forever. I hope when Jerry Jones dies, they take his head and put it on a stick and stick it in the ground, and they just let his head make decisions because it can't be any worse than what they're doing now. Good job, Jerry, bringing Big Ben McAdoo. He's a horror. Yeah, they'll all be out the door this year. But we'll get to that. Spygate, we'll talk about. Phil Mickelson's big win. The way Rick Rude died. I had a lot of wrestling stuff tonight, guys. Megadeth and Dave Ellison part ways, and I'm a little pissed off at it, and I'm not a Megadeth fan. Tony Iommi was in another big band that I forgot about. I want to ask Jeff about it. Deshaun Watson won't be deposed. What does that mean for Deshaun Watson and his football season this year? Julio Jones wants to be out of Atlanta, and he wants to play with Cam Newton because he says Matt Ryan's lost a little off the fastball. Are you kidding me? You want to go play with Cam Newton? I got to love it. So much to talk about. Gene Simmons. Today's baseball play is soft. We'll talk about the Knicks' big win, the Islanders' big series win, and all of that here on the Hard Rockin' Sports Show tonight, starting right now when I bring on the most important person on his side of the screen, the most handsome man in Staten Island. I'm going to add Mr. Jeff Konwitsky to the show. What's up, Hefe?
I'm here, bitch.
I'm here. I see it.
I wish that we were together because I would drink my fucking testy satchel of gross gin right now. And I'd have you begging for more. You know why?
Why, Jeff? Why?
Because that's how it is. You could act tough like an hour away. Go ahead.
Jeff, how was your week?
Well, my week is far from over.
It's far from over? Wait, Jeff, it's Thursday. You're usually off on Friday and Saturday, and then you start all over on Sunday. Because of the holiday weekend, are you on double duty this week?
Well, I got to work Saturday because my boss ain't in, so I'll be there Saturday. But it is what it is. But I don't know, for those who haven't been giving a fuck or following at all, the gazebo is done.
We didn't see the pictures online.
Because it's not done in here yet.
Okay.
And the reason I say that is because there's four screws that I cannot reach.
Come on.
To put in to call it complete. And that's strips on the corner moldings. Let me tell you a real quick story.
Go ahead.
So last week, I was like, I'm going to go, I live right by Riemann's. I was like, I'm going to go to Riemann's. Mm-hmm. They're going to ask them if they rent the lattice. So because all I have is a 6-footer, and I definitely need an 8-footer. I definitely need an 8-footer.
Right.
So I go over to Riemann's, and I ask them, I was like, do you guys have, rent lattice? And they're like, no. So like, okay, how much does a ladder cost? So they said, we have two ladders, two 8-footers. One's $80 and one's $150. So I was like, well, they look the same. The one's orange, one's green. I said, what is the difference? So the guy's like, well, one's, they're probably different ratings for weight.
Mm-hmm.
Of course.
Yes.
So one topped out at like 225. The other one topped out at like 275.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm a man that likes to live dangerously once in a while.
Absolutely.
Well, over 225 pounds, I'm like, I'll take the green one.
Absolutely. You can't go to big. You gotta go for the little guy.
Oh yeah, you got a tightrope on this one.
Absolutely.
So I'm afraid of heights as it is, even though it's an 8-foot ladder. I'm still definitely afraid of heights. So I'm up on this ladder, thinking to myself, "You're fat. You're way more than 225. This whole entire ladder is coming down like a house of cards." Kind of like Dave Gettleman's season is going to come down any second.
Oh, my God.
And I'm just sitting there like trying. I can't get these fucking last four. I actually started scoping out at work guys that I know that weigh less than 225 and asking who's afraid of heights. So far I have one candidate.
You do realize that 8-foot is not considered heights, by the way.
Dude, when in your driveway or your backyard is a little bit more pitch than you think. When you're holding on to a flimsy sheet metal, not a sheet metal, but cast aluminum fucking gazebo. Yeah, 8-foot. I might as well be changing the light on the top of the sphere of the Empire State Building with no harness. And I was just like, I can't get up there. I just can't get up there. I can't do it. Just scared shitless. You know, I know that. What's the worst that happens? You fall. Well, you don't even get a fucking...
Well, if you fell, you would probably... Your feet would hit the ground, and you would just stand up.
I would like to think, Tom. You know, but I'm clocking around 275 nowadays.
I got you. But I mean, you know, a couple of scrapes and a little, what's that, Mercurochrome? A little Mercurochrome would cut that, you get the scrapes all covered up next year. You'd be fine.
Yeah, but listen, there's four corners. If I fell once, there's a good chance that a 75%, I'm going to fall another three times.
So you're saying it's not the fall height, it's the amount of falls you're afraid of.
Well, it's all the above. The heights, the amount.
Jevin,
the point of being days away from turning 55 and falling now about, this could be devastating.
We understand. Has the disability been paid up to date? Are we all set just in case?
Yeah, I mean, this could end up putting me in a fucking wheelchair, you know?
Have you put me on the will yet? Where do I rank in the will category? Is there a line that says to my dear friend of 40 years and partner on the radio, you're entitled to...
There is, yes. I told Sharon to make sure that you get something from me if I was to go prematurely.
I think I deserve to go forward. How I could go forward without you, I'm not sure. But I do deserve to have some sort of memento of our time together.
What's up there, Joe Flynn?
What's up, Joe Flynn?
And you actually, there's several mementos of our time together that you would be getting. And I'm... couldn't think of a better place to put it, to give it, a person to give it to. But yes, you are mentioned, and you will be getting stuff if I do go early.
All right. Well, not that I'm rooting for you to go early, because we have a lot of shows to do together. But
I'm hoping we're doing this for years. But I'm going to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
I put a bunch of stuff aside
in a
Tupperware tin, Tupperware tub.
Okay.
And I told my wife a couple other things that I want certain people to get. But you, Thomas,
yes,
will be the recipient of all my Jets memorabilia, every single piece of it. Also, you must keep it for a minimum of 10 years, and after that time, a donation will be made in your name in honor of a New York Giants fan. In order to take a kid to a game, we're going to pay. I have all of this set up, so you have to show proof of that.
So I have to hold out the 10 years of your Jet memorabilia, which I don't know how you call Jet stuff memorabilia. It's more like Jet junk, but let's call it memorabilia for the sake of this conversation.
You're going to be getting jerseys, hats, this hat right here. You'll be getting this one back. Okay. I have, when me and the missus like to play, I have my Jets boxes.
Ah.
She likes.
So you're this would be containing your manhood, basically.
Well,
your manhood is swum around in
kinda,
this.
Kinda.
Yeah.
It's my Jets thong that has not ever been washed once. That I'll make sure that you're going to be getting.
I don't know if it's the front.
Ziploc bag.
I'm not sure if it's the front or the back of the thong that scares me more.
Doesn't matter.
Where it's been.
You huff it every day.
Folks, do you see what I have to put up with? 40 years of friendship, and this is what's being left to me in his will. Not the, the Lakeland, not the precision. No, yes.
First of all, the Giza leak Lakeland, that's our. They want to hit the house. I told my wife, I go, it comes. That's all there is to it. Okay, there's only a few things I'm looking for to come with me in the box.
Mm-hmm.
The Lakeland, these are both the Lakeland.
Uh-huh.
One of them. And I may take one of my music men. I don't know yet. I don't know. I may take one of the music men, but definitely the Lakeland.
I just want you to know that I'm requesting that I be the last guy at the coffin prior to the closing. I request this. I want to say my proper goodbyes to my dear friend.
Dude, I hope that you fought in there and then slammed the lid down. That's.
I'm just saying. I want to be the last. I want this face to be the last thing before they close it. That's all I'm saying. I want just as they close.
You know, even better yet, if all of a sudden my eyes pop open as you're shutting down the lid, and then I want you to go just like this. And just close the lid anyway.
You know what? I'm promise you one thing. If it happens this way, I will put the Jet Super Bowl trophy in the coffin with you because you deserve that. Oh, yeah, that's right. They only got one. They can't spare it.
No, that's right. I don't want it. I don't want it. It's there. See, I'm glad you brought this up.
Oh, yeah.
There's things that you did not know about that I did not know about when it came to Super Bowl III.
Oh,
and
geez.
You do not know.
You're like the old guy at the end of the bar who's stuck in 1950. Because 1969. Are we kidding ourselves with 1969? It was a fake. Listen, there are people who have the theory. It's even worse than the All Inspector Magic Bullet theory. That whole thing was a complete sham. The Jets had no business winning that Super Bowl. Oh my God!
It was not a sham.
It was a sham. It wasn't even called the Super Bowl at that point. It was called
Super Bowl.
It was called the Who Cares Who Shows Up for This Super Game. That's what they called it. The Who Cares
listen,
Who Shows Up.
Listen.
With the fake quarterback.
Did you know? Jets were favorite underdogs by 18 points. Did you know that?
I did know that.
Okay. Did you know that the New York Jets underdogs by 18 points, that the guarantee is not what it once was?
I don't know. I didn't know what that means. What does that mean? It wasn't what it once was.
That means that Namath did not just turn around and say,
yes,
we're going to win. I guarantee it.
That's correct.
He said it because he was prodded into it.
Correct.
And he busted his balls for days in the time leading up to the Super Bowl that finally he just kind of snapped and he was like, we're going to win it. I guarantee it. So that's one thing to keep in mind.
That's correct. His guarantee was a fake guarantee. But that's okay.
Not necessarily a fake guarantee, but a fake guarantee made out of frustration.
Yes. Not out of confidence.
What do you want your team to say? Yeah. Are you going to come in second place?
Yeah. We're going to give it a good shot, but we're going to get our asses kicked?
Yeah. Nobody's going to say that. Of course you're going to say that.
Yeah.
Okay? Joe Namath was completely blinded by the fact that he saw Johnny Unitas on the other side of the field. Total respect for Johnny Unitas.
Sure, they're from the same area.
Still went out there and was like shitting his pants, and he said in the special that I just watched the other day, you know, like here it is, the guarantee, and there's Johnny Unitas staring at me, but I had to go out there and play, and that's what he did.
Yeah.
It came to the fourth quarter. The Jets were winning 16-0 at the start of the fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So now the coach, Weeb Eubank, told him, all right, we're going to open up with a series of pass plays. Joe Namath turned around and said to the coach, I disagree. We're not going to pass the ball at all. We're going to run the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And they did not attempt a pass in the entire fourth quarter and chose to run out and kill as much of the clock as possible by running the balls. Hence, they limited themselves to 16 points in the game overall instead of getting a couple extra points here and there, so which I think is very smart. Also, the game was followed up by four Jet interceptions, which nobody ever talks about.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking that this was a defensive gem of a game, like you like to call it all the time.
I would say.
And the Jets handily beat the Colts 16-7 on a lot of smart plays, ingenuity, and just smart football. And I think that that's overlooked. Because, yes, it happened like 75,000 years ago in the Jurassic period of the NFL, without a doubt. But a lot of people overlook that and you never hear anybody talk about that. I never knew that there was four interceptions in that game.
You know what the problem is? The only thing that game is really known for is one is, of course, it's probably the biggest upset based on point spread of all time. And the famous – the famous kind of overdone Joe Namath guarantee. That's really what it's all about. And the fact, and I would say that it might not have been, I've watched the game not full. They don't have to show the whole game, but I've watched enough of the game to tell you it was a boring game. But it was a good defensive game by the Jets. They ran the ball really well, and they beat a team that nobody thought could be beaten. And it's probably the most important game of that, at least of that era, and it may be of all time. I've said it on the air. I'm not going to change my mind on that one.
So what?
That's probably the most important game of all time.
Other than the Super Bowl?
That Super Bowl was probably the most important football game of all time, NFL game.
I haven't changed my mind on that one.
So what?
Here we go.
And that's probably the most important game of all time.
Yeah.
Other than the Super Bowl?
That Super Bowl was probably the most important football game of all time.
That's okay.
Got it. That's fine.
You know what?
I'll put that down.
Let's get somebody on the phone, on the air with us who probably watched that game. Maybe wants to chime in on that and something else. That's my dad. He checks in every Thursday night with us, and let's see what my dad has to say. What's up, Pop?
Hello, guys. I'm listening to you. And, Jeff, you got a lot of it right. He was a – I'll say I saw Namath in person. We went to a few games at Chase Stadium. He was a good quarterback. There were a lot of quarterbacks in the league, whole league, that were better than he was. But he quit New York because he was a playboy and because he just fit New York. Okay, but that game was, they had the two best receivers that I'm going to say I ever saw, Maynard and Sauer. They had two great running backs, Boozer and Snell. They had one of the best defenses. Their defense was much better than Baltimore. And he really didn't do anything that game. He never passed for a touchdown. They ran it in, and then they kicked field goals. Three field goals. I'm not taking anything away from Davis.
Yeah.
He was a good, but when you say Super Bowl, the first thing everybody says, Joe Namath. Well, no, there was many quarterbacks that were better than him. Now, nobody's saying what would have happened if you, excuse me. Go ahead, I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
I say I think everybody knows that. I could not rate Namath in the top 15 of a quarterback that went to a Super Bowl, I feel.
I don't think he was worth that high. No, I'm not saying he was a bad quarterback, but had he played for another team, he would have just been an ordinary quarterback.
Let's be honest. If the Jets don't win that game, Joe Namath is not the personality, not the not a Hall of Famer. I got to be honest with you. I think that game puts him in the Hall of Fame.
Definitely, without a doubt.
I'm sorry.
He played in New York, okay? Mm-hmm. And playing in New York gave him front page on everything, okay?
Sure.
And the other teams hated him with a passion. His own teammates hated him with a passion because he was a prima donna.
Yeah.
He didn't play half the time. He was fit. I mean, you're playing football, you're out hurt, and there you are sitting on the sidelines with a mink coat on. Come on, man. You know, this is when football was really football. You know, it wasn't no baby stuff. You know, and he just, and I don't want to take anything away from him. I mean, he fit, without him, the AFL they didn't win that game. Who knows if they would even have, what would be going on today.
Oh, I agree. Again, I'll say Jeff can tape it as many times as he wants. I think that's an important game because it changed the landscape of football. It brought the two leagues together, and the awareness for the Super Bowl jumped. I'm sure people were at the games, but if you go look at the first two, three Super Bowls, it wasn't this big game until after that game.
They couldn't give the tickets. They couldn't give the tickets away after that game.
So, yeah. I mean,
I remember Super Bowl starting because we watched one at Joey's house.
Yes.
I remember one starting on a Sunday, a late afternoon on a Sunday.
Sure.
I mean, late afternoon, 4 or 5 o'clock,
mm-hmm.
because we watched half the game. It was still light out.
Yep.
And it was the Cincinnati 49ers game.
Yep.
We each brought a little something to his house. And I remember hanging out and for a couple hours before the game, we were hanging out.
Absolutely. We played football during the day. We played football at Nude Up Turf, and then we went. Everybody went home and got ready, and we went to Joey's and watched the Super Bowl. So, yeah. But now the Super Bowl, what it's turned into, I feel, is based on that game. They've positioned it now where it's going to wind up on President's Weekend, And people, it's going to turn into its own holiday, basically. People are, that has turned into one of the biggest get-together days of all time.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Definitely, without a doubt. Between food and,
yeah,
and television and commercials,
yeah,
and everything else.
And then, should be back to normal this year. You should, should be a full stadium of people, and the bars and restaurants will be open. You know.
They gave them the okay to have full stadium this year, mm-hmm, football when they open.
Yes. Yep. Yeah.
I think by that time, everything will be July.
It's getting there now. I opened the show. I said I went to a Target on Staten Island to pick up something for work on my way home, and you walked in, and I would say 40% of the people that were in there were maskless and, just going about their business, and you start to see it more and more. So good for people.
Yeah.
Get out there and do your thing.
That's what they got to do, man.
Yeah.
All right, Tom. Enjoy your weekend. I'll see you over the weekend, naturally.
Yes, I will definitely see you over the weekend,
Jeff,
Pops.
Have a good one. Jeff, and listen, that ladder, I guarantee you it holds you. Because what those ladders are rated for, they're like 75%.
Thank you there, Joe Namath, but I'm not getting on that goddamn ladder. I don't care how much it says it holds.
I guarantee you ain't going to come down. But if you feel safe, get somebody else to walk the ladder for you. Have a good weekend, Jeff. Say hello to everybody.
I will. Thank you, Mr. Florio. You too. Say hello to Mrs. Florio, please.
I will. I'll take care now.
Hi, Pops.
I'll
see you over the weekend, Dad. That's my Pops. He checks in every week with us, and I love having him on the show. And he brings a different perspective each week. And speaking of which, I believe your parents in the recent time have had a little anniversary, 56 years or so?
Yeah, 56 years.
Congratulations to Mr. and Mrs. T, some of my favorite people. I got to wish it online, but I'll say it here on the show. Two of my favorite parents growing up. I spent a lot of time in their house during my teen years. So
awful parents, man.
Yeah,
they had us constantly.
Oh yeah,
they must have been like, what the fuck is wrong with these kids? Get out!
Yeah, don't they have a house somewhere? We spend a lot of time up in Jeff Gregg's room in the attic.
Yeah. They must be like, what are these guys, gay? Go out and find some women. What's the wrong with
it's true. There wasn't a lot of women in our sausage fest.
No.
It's true.
It was like a brat party.
Yes, very much so. Guys, Hard Rock and Sports, 347-826-9934 if you want to chat with us. If not, you can chime in right on here online. And we got lots of stuff to happen tonight and every week. A return to the show, Jeff. We have a return to the show.
I'm glad. If it's what I think you're going to say, I'm going to let you say it first, and then I'm going to rebut it. Go ahead.
June the 10th, I'm going to go by the stage name of Granny Four Barrel. We'll be returning to the Hard Rock and Sports Show on June the 10th at a first time on video. I spoke to Granny online. I forwarded the message to Jeff, and Granny will be coming back onto the show on June the 10th. So, of course, we're looking forward to that. Next week, Morpheus, the drummer for Mojo Alice, who I opened the show with their song, with their video for Dirty Mary. We'll be checking in from New Zealand. We got a band calling in from New Zealand. We've had Australia. We've had England. I want to say we've had a couple other countries popping up, Canada. But this will be the first one from New Zealand checking in. Morpheus, the drummer for Mojo Alice, next Thursday night and on the 10th. We welcome back Granny Forbarrow, one of our favorite guests of all time. Jeff, who did you think it was?
Well, I saw the email,
yep,
but here's the thing. For whatever reason, I can't get email on my phone anymore.
Oh, okay.
I don't know what happened. I think my phone is getting tired.
Okay.
To be honest with you. And a couple weeks ago, it just, like, I can't see any emails. So I don't know when emails refresh.
Okay.
And because in nowadays world, it's like, who the fuck sends an email?
Yeah.
If you want anything, you get a text message. So I don't check emails that often. Then I go to sign on, and I got like 54 emails, which for me is a lot because I don't use emails. And then all of a sudden, I saw it there. I saw him by his regular name.
Yes.
So I was like, oh, shit. I was like, okay, cool. I got to go back and read that email later. But, it's going to be cool. I want to see. I'm hoping that he comes full-blown Granny.
I believe that is the case. I will verify that, but I believe he's promoting some Granny stuff. So I've gotten to see Granny play live twice now. Never been disappointed. Probably my first tour bus ever was you and me hanging with Granny and the boys after the show, which I thought was pretty cool. They treated us like friends, which I thought was very cool.
Yes. I've never told you. I thought when we got on that bus that we were going to crawl out because all of the talking that week leading up to that with Granny, he kept saying, you know, we'll get on the bus, we'll do some shots. And I'm like, oh, Christ almighty. We're going up to fucking North Jersey. We're getting in with this guy and he wants to do shots. I'm like, I'm not opposed to this, but it sounds like we're going to get fucked up.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden, I kept like, as time went on and we kept waiting. And then all of a sudden, he says, all right, let's do those shots. And he starts taking pictures. And I was just like, what the fuck? I'm wondering if these guys had partied too hard in a previous life and you don't have to use the lingo, but just can't walk the walk. You know what I mean?
Yes, they're in rock star mode, but when push comes to shove, it's the backyard husband time. So
no, that's fine. You're better off that way anyway.
Absolutely. So, yeah, Granny will be joining us on the 10th next week. Morpheus from Mojo Alice. And again, thanks to the guys from Barstools and Band Talk for having me on the show last night. Last minute, I got an invite for a panel along with some of the guys from RFO Records. And it was a blast to do a little something different. And thanks for the invite and I had a lot of fun. And we're cooking up some stuff for the future, but let's start with what we're doing now. So, Jeff, lots of stuff going on in the world of sports. Even though football is very quiet, OTAs, we do have some football stuff. So, you know, I almost wish I had a wheel that I could spin and say, Jeff, where do you want to start? So we got
take off a category every time that you.
Yeah, exactly. So we may have to work on that. But where do you want to start the show? Do you want to start with a little sports? I got a couple football topics for you. I got some baseball. We got basketball, hockey. Go ahead.
I think a lot of that is going to lead into other things. So. I'd like to start off with the couple of wrestling topics. There was one that I had this week that I found that was, I'm like, why? Mm-hmm. And I can never figure out why, which was Jimmy Superfly Snuka is in the WWE Hall of Fame.
Right.
But yet they will not put Chris Benoit in as a wrestler. Of course, Chris Benoit is a human being. Can never go into any Hall of Fame, other than maybe the Scumbag Hall of Fame for what he did, killing his son and his wife. But how is it that Jimmy Snuka, who all of this evidence pointed that he killed this girl, but he was never convicted?
That's why.
I must say.
That's why.
But it's
I agree with you.
Common knowledge that you know this guy did what he did. You know what I mean?
The thought process is there, Jeff, and I agree with you. But when was he put in? And I know there wasn't. In fact, tonight the Ultimate Warrior Dark Side of the Ring is on. I meant to tape that. I have to try to do that.
Yes, that was a very. I feel very different.
Well, there's two different things.
I used to like the Warrior.
Yeah.
Then I dislike. Oh, it's a different.
Yeah, because the one you probably watched Sunday night. If it was an A&E version. There's a different one called Dark Side of the Ring. Has a whole different bunch of biographies. It's Bruiser Brody. I've seen Owen Hart, and they're doing one tonight. And there's a documentary done. I don't know if you saw it in the documentary I told you about, and you watched, I guess. Done a few years ago by the WWE, kind of a hit job on it, which I've never seen. But give me your thoughts on the Ultimate Warrior biography that you watched Sunday night.
I kind of think that he, you know, it sounded like he had a hard life growing up.
Yes.
And maybe he took a little solace in attempting to, like, he put his mind to something and he did it. He wanted to be a professional bodybuilder, but they said there wasn't much in the way of money unless you were a top-tier guy. And then he kind of drifted towards wrestling because it seems as though that a lot of the bodybuilders go that way, it seemed. That's at least the way they made it seem in the show, when they can't go any further within the bodybuilding world. And it seemed as though that he just wanted to be recognized and wanted to be known.
Yes.
And it certainly seems as though that's what happened.
Mm-hmm.
I know as we got older, a lot of forums on Facebook, and we've discussed it, and we're like, well, the guy was a horrible wrestler.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, but his gimmick wasn't wrestling. He wasn't a Tito Santana or Ricky the Dragon Steamboat or someone like that. He was a big muscle-bound guy, and big muscle-bound guys like him, Hogan, they didn't wrestle well. They can't move.
No.
No matter what they do, they can't move.
Right.
So I was like, maybe we were too hard on him because part of the thing that I did see was the introduction to his WWE Hall of Fame.
Yes.
When he had his daughters with him.
Yes.
And like, you know, here's somebody, aside to somebody that you've never seen before, the family man, and how he felt about his daughters. And, you know, just a couple days after that, you know, he was gone. And,
yeah.
You know, at a young age, and it sucks, man. It's a shame because, you know, I know he ran his mouth a lot, and if you listen to what he said, you don't know, was it him or Hogan who was the one that was the scumbag, but, you know, I hear a lot more people talk about Hogan than I do
about
the Ultimate Warrior.
Well, if you watch that thing at the end, you know, Ric Flair, they asked Flair, they asked Gene Okerlund, they asked a whole bunch of those guys, and they all basically came up and said, he's a jerk-off.
Well, you know what? I fell asleep near the end.
You got to watch the end of it.
Ric Flair, he said something, and he was like, enough said.
Yes, he just comes down,
like,
and he goes, that's it. And he got up and walked out after basically saying, you know, you're asking me if he's a jerk-off? You know, and he walked out, enough said. You know, here's the thing I found about it. You know, you could see that he was not necessarily the nicest human being coming – up in, I'm going to deal with just the time in the WWF, and
the only time that we really know of.
Correct. So to me, it was the downfall was right before SummerSlam, where he sends McMahon the letter saying, "I want to be paid and treated just like Hogan." Now, I'll tell you that if he had kept his mouth shut and done things right, his character probably would have equaled or bettered Hogan. It would have been very close because he had a ton of fans, you know, even as a worse wrestler than Hogan. Hogan was a better wrestler than he was.
He did have a ton of fans.
Yep.
But I honestly and truly think that there was a plan, and the plan for him was to hold the title like he was until Hogan came back, and for Hogan to win it back from the Warrior, and the Warrior to pass it back on to Hogan, just like Hogan passed it to the Warrior. And they both leave the ring as good guys.
Well, don't forget,
he
had both belts. When they fought in WrestleMania, he was the Intercontinental Champion, and Hogan was the heavyweight champ, and he walked out with both belts. And then
he had to give up the Intercontinental belt.
Yes,
after a while.
Right, correct. When he came, did you hear that? There was also a story at the end when after that they're going to fight, and Hogan is being brought back to fight him, and they cooked up a scheme where him and Hogan and Sergeant Slaughter would go after something, and Sheik would come in and break Ultimate Warrior's leg. And Vince McMahon put a stop to it. Said, no lawsuits. And they put a stop to it. But he was not a well-liked guy. He left and every single time and was fired immediately on his last show, on his last time with the WWE. Didn't make up with them for years. For years, until just before he got inducted to the Hall of Fame. I followed him in those years, and there's videos, if you go to YouTube, where he blasts everybody.
Yes,
I mean, just completely. Now, at the very end, they show him and Hogan at the Hall of Fame, and him and Hogan are talking privately, what they think is privately, I guess, and somebody's kind of got a camera there, and they're catching words, they're catching it. And they basically apologize to each other. We love you. We love you. I love you. Blah, 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 blah. They hug. And I guess all offenses amended. And then literally 2 days later, he's dead.
Well, what do you think? That there's some circumstances behind his death?
Well, first off, the men in his family died early. His father died in, I think his grandfather died in his 50s. I think the father died in his 40s. So he was already dealing with that. And then, obviously, I don't remember if he did a lot of drugs or not. There was a lot of – didn't really go into it, but we all know that he did a ton of steroids.
Yeah, he did a lot of steroids. Yeah. Nobody gets a body that chiseled. I mean, listen, you can get big,
yeah,
but he was big and defined.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, like
he had one of the ultimate physiques. Oh. I mean, that's one of the reasons for the Ultimate Warrior.
Yep.
But, you know, he just, big boy, big boy.
Yeah, and just, you know, so when he if you watch, if you ever go back and you watch, not the induction ceremony, but I think the next night or maybe later on in that night, they're having like a Monday Night Raw or something, and he goes down to the ring, and he's walking down. And he puts on the coat, and he's, you know, puts on the Ultimate Warrior mask, and he's under. But you can see he can barely breathe. He's having a hard time walking, and you can just see that he just doesn't look healthy. And
I know. I hear you. For somebody that still was big,
yeah,
at that point in time in his life,
yeah,
you know, when I mean big, I mean built wise.
Oh yeah,
it wasn't like his body went to waste.
Yep,
but yeah, he definitely had issues going on, without a doubt.
Yeah, I mean, I think I came out of it feeling sorry for the guy, but when I've gone back the last maybe 3 or 4 weeks and I've watched the first, well, from 2 through 6. The WrestleManias, a couple of SummerSlams, Royal Rumbles, and he's all over there. And his character it's just, you know, he's decent on the promos, and he goes running to the ring, shakes the ring around, does a lot of running around in the ring, but it's nothing where you'd go, wow, this guy's a great wrestler. But the people went crazy for him because I guess the look and the whole thing.
If he was a wrestler,
yep,
in the Attitude Era, with The Rock and Triple H,
uh-huh,
Stone Cold, would his character have been received differently? You know, back when he came out, it's kind of like they were more wrestling than they did in times now.
Yes.
Completely. So
yes.
He, I don't want to say he was a brawler, but it was a completely different,
yes,
situation that he was in back then.
Yeah.
Do you think he would have been more successful today?
Today, yes. I think, well, I think anything that would have kept him from wrestling a lot, probably would have been better for him because he was very stiff as a wrestler, and there were certain wrestlers who wouldn't even get in the ring with him because they were afraid he was going to hurt them.
Jeez.
So, yeah. So, you know, yeah, I think in the Attitude Era or maybe a different era where it was more about the outside the ring, nowadays he would be huge. He would be absolutely huge now because he wouldn't have to wrestle.
Yeah,
he wouldn't have to wrestle, but you know, that whole series this week is Mick Foley. The end, I think, on Bret Hart. There's 8 episodes. They do the Lost Treasures after, where they have one of the guys going around trying to gather up his old stuff. You get a chance, folks, if you're a fan of the '80s, '70s, '80s wrestling, even '90s. They have Stone Cold. That was a really good one. The one thing I tell you, Jeff, about it before we move on is I learned so much about all the wrestlers, Shawn Michaels. You know, guys I really didn't pay attention to. I didn't like back in the day. Stone Cold, you know, wasn't a huge fan of wrestling at that point, but watching it, I became a lot more knowledgeable of these wrestlers and what they did and how they get. And you know what? And there's a lot of people who put Stone Cold Steve Austin as, you know, Babe Ruth of wrestling. I kind of put the put Hogan there, but there's a lot of people who would put Stone Cold there.
You know, you got to remember, so each one of them helped wrestling at their time, you
yep.
know, and helped wrestling reach a peak.
Yeah.
You know, while their time was in the WWF,
yeah.
without
yeah.
a doubt. Stone Cold did it on a completely different level during the internet level, during the age of pay-per-views.
Right.
Yes, Hulk Hogan did it, but not at the same level. WWE has pay-per-views once a month now.
Oh, yeah. It's different.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Back then when Hogan, it was SummerSlam, it was
Royal Rumble.
You know,
Royal
Rumble.
Rumble. Yep.
It was only a couple of the big ones that they had.
Yep.
You know, when you looked at the setup, you know, there was French barricades between the ring and the crowd.
Yep.
But now they have like a complete setup, like a wall and stuff like that. It's just so much more professional looking. It makes you wonder, like, how much more professionals are going to get.
Yeah.
We remember watching it when Vince McMahon was sitting at a table.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Sure.
Doing everything with a folding chair
yeah.
in a high school gym.
Pretty
completely
awesome.
Interviewing wrestlers while they're breaking the ring down. As opposed to now with
yeah.
some of the things that happen. It's just a completely different time and era. But I think that the attitude and everything was so much different.
Oh, yeah.
For Stone Cold Steve Austin than it was for Hulk Hogan.
I would agree with that. Looking back at it now and watching that and watching how his career went on, it's an interesting take. And if you're a fan of wrestling then, now, or somewhere in between, check it out. A&E's got some good ones. And, of course, go to the Dark Side of the Ring. Those are good, too. I'm going to catch that tonight. I'm sure I'll get a replay of the Ultimate Warrior one. We got a lot more wrestling to do. I want to talk about WrestleMania 2. I want to talk about how Rick Rude died. I don't know if Jeff's aware of how the Rootster died.
No, I'm not. I think he did the cocaine overdose.
Well, I'll let that fester a little while. We're going to get up to a little football right now. I want to talk to Jeff about Tim Tebow. I got to throw a little Tebow to dispute the past Jet quarterback, as he was known. Jeff, why two things? First of all, why is Tim Tebow hated? Why? What is it about Tim Tebow? One of the nicest human beings you could ever see and ever hear and listen to. A God-fearing man. Why is he so despised? Yet there are guys running around in the league who you wouldn't invite to your team to your house without a cop.
Oh, it's a good question, man. That's a very good question because it's not even so much that he's a nice guy. It's just, you know, what did he do to rile people up? Is it because he wanted to pray and take a second to himself? Is it that wrong?
No.
That, you know, people were so bent out of shape about it? I don't know.
Well,
and it's a shame of it.
Yeah, I mean, listen. So your boy, Stephen A. Smith, and I say he's your boy because that's your guy.
You tell you something. When Stephen A. is on the money.
Yeah, he's on the money.
He's on the money, man.
Yeah.
When me and Stephen A. connect on certain things,
yeah.
You're there.
Well, let me see if you're there. Are you there with Stephen A. when he says that the only reason that Tim Tebow's got another chance in the NFL is because of white privilege?
No, after hearing that, that's...
Are you on the same page now?
Fucking things I've ever... No, like...
Listen, Tim Tebow's getting a second chance because his old college coach is the head coach, and he's trying to bring in a decent human being who probably has zero chance to make it in the NFL at 35 years old as a tight end, yet...
I totally agree.
Yet, most people can't figure out why he gets a chance. Some players are actually pissed off about it, bringing up why isn't your boy Kaepernick getting another chance if Tim Tebow's getting another chance. Yet Tim Tebow's jersey is the number one selling jersey right now.
Well, can I say why I am kind of disappointed to see Tim Tebow?
Sure, please.
One, it has nothing to do with Colin Kaepernick.
Does it remind you of the futility of your team?
No, not at all.
Okay, just checking.
Not at all.
Okay, by all means.
Not
please.
At all.
Okay.
Because I think that a lot of people are using this attempted comeback for the wrong reasons. And a lot of people looking at it for the wrong reasons. One, I don't think that he should be coming back as a tight end. I don't think he should come back at all.
Okay.
But if he's coming back as a tight end with the number one pick that happened to be a quarterback on that team, I think it shows that, okay, we just want to have somebody else here. Urban Meyer and Tim Tebow, without a doubt, have a history together.
Yeah.
I just don't see the point of extending that history. Okay. I could see you want to bring the guy back as a coach, as a quarterback coach, or you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Quarterback advisor. That's one thing.
Right.
You know, that's I can understand that to an extent.
Sure.
Okay, because Trevor Lawrence seems like he's a bit in the Tim Tebow mold, so to speak, don't you think?
Well, it's a great point. I want to talk a little bit about Trevor Lawrence. It's not on my show sheet. I don't know if we did it last week, but you're right. Yes, I do get the feeling that they would have a lot in common based on their thought process, their religious background. I think, yes.
Trevor Lawrence is religious?
I don't know, but he comes off that way to me. I can't say that I noticed that.
Yes. College sweetheart. He got, at the very least, he married.
Right.
Got married kind of young. And,
sure.
You know, but whatever. But I think that a lot of it has to do with it's the story of Tim Tebow alone overshadows a lot of what's going on simply because of who he is and what he was in the NFL.
Sure.
Somebody that was determined to be a quarterback, and now you just drafted a quarterback. Now you're bringing another quarterback on the roster as a tight end.
Yeah.
And I mean, is the guy really there to play tight end?
No.
You know, it certainly it seems as though they don't have him working out with the quarterbacks.
No, I don't think he's there to play quarterback at all. I think the guy is and I think he'll get an absolute look to see if he has any ability as a tight end. I think the guy's strictly there to be to kind of just be a good guy, just a kind of a good influence, and maybe be a guy who hangs around with the new rookie quarterback, and you know, instead of him hanging out with maybe some people who not necessarily would have his best interest, a guy like Tebow who kind of just goes about his job, does things the right way, and I think he's there just more to change the culture in their locker room. That's the way I see it. I think he has a outside, you know, one in a million chance of sticking on that roster as a 35-year-old first-year tight end. But I will tell you this, I'm going to break my ban of buying NFL merchandise. That's my kind of anti-social justice warrior thing. And I will be buying a Tim Tebow tight end jersey that I will debut on the show within 2 weeks. There you go.
Well, listen, you know, if that's what you're
I'm going to support my man Tim Tebow.
Okay. There's nothing wrong with that.
No.
You know, let me tell you something.
Uh-huh.
This all of this bans on everything is yes, I agreed with you, and I still do. I have not bought anything Nike in a long time.
I won't buy
Nike. I have some of the shittiest sneakers I can find at this point.
Me too.
I refuse to buy Nike sneakers.
I agree.
And every once in a while when I go in the store, and I'm just like, you know, is it time? Is it time? But I just walk out and I'm like, no, I can't do it yet.
One of these days you'll probably break down and you'll do it. Man, I like Nike, a lot of Nike stuff, but I still can't pull myself together. And, you know, I don't watch pro basketball other than the Knicks for the show. And I don't watch, I don't support the NFL in the sense I won't buy their gear. I won't buy their materials. I will not give them my money, but because I feel what they did last year was, and maybe still doing, is an abomination. But that's my protest.
Oh, listen, I hear you. The stuff is, I have several jerseys.
Yes.
Okay? I have one game-worthy jersey,
Game worn.
No, not game worn.
Game worthy. I got you. Yes, like a game professional.
Worthy,
yeah.
You know, and I could tell the difference.
Sure.
I also, what if I'm going to eat certain foods? I'm like, got to take it off. You know, it's too heavy to wear outside. It's too heavy to wear inside. You know, and then the cheaper ones. I have a few of the cheaper ones, and they're nice. I like them.
But, yep.
You know, it's not the same. After you have a real one, you're like, I want to wear that one, but I can't. You know, it is what it is. But I break them out on certain occasions.
Okay.
You know, not the cheaper ones because they're all. My wife got me a Brett Favre one.
Okay.
It was for our first anniversary, which was very nice of her.
Sure.
Except earlier, just like with the ladder story, how I shouldn't be going up on a certain rating ladder, I should not be wearing a certain size jersey.
Yes.
Which made me look like a sausage with arms. But, and there I was. She was like all upset because it was our anniversary, and she snuck it down to when we went away and gave it to me when we went away, and I'm wearing it. I'm like, it's fine. Don't worry about it. She's like, it's not fine. I'm like, it's fine. Don't worry.
I'll lose weight. It'll fit.
Yeah, it'll fit. It'll stretch out.
Yeah. When you wash it, it loosens up. But you know what? It's just the simple fact that Tim Tebow's been ridiculed for years for taking a knee, for just being a good guy, and, you know, maybe not the greatest player I've ever seen, but a guy who gave his all on the field. And I hated Tim Tebow in college. I couldn't stand Tim Tebow in college. And I became a fan of Tim Tebow because I realized what kind of good person the guy is and a tremendous athlete. So I'm rooting for Tim Tebow. I don't believe he'll be on the opening day roster. I think he'll be going through OTAs and through training camp and will be a late cut to not take away time from somebody else.
I think he's going to I got a feeling he's going to be on that team come September.
Okay.
And if not, I think that he's going to go deep into the preseason before they finally let him go.
I agree.
The last round of cuts.
I agree with that 100%. That I agree with. I believe he will be on that team till the very last cut. Maybe the last guy cut on the team, because I think his influence in the locker room, his work ethic will be an inspiration to a lot of guys.
Yeah, listen, I don't care if the guy's into religion and stuff like that. That's up to him.
Absolutely.
I don't care. Okay? I'll say the guy has proven that he stuck with it for how many years and, you know, and all this other shit.
Yep.
But if you don't want him to do what he's doing, then all of these social justice warriors shouldn't be doing what they're doing.
Agreed. 100%.
And if you're gonna stand behind them,
right,
and they protest the country and they help further the divide and all this other shit.
Yep.
Tim Tebow was not doing anything, nothing. He never asked for anything. He took a knee for a second to praise God that he believes in.
Uh-huh.
And that's fine.
Yeah.
It didn't hurt anybody.
Nope.
Matter of fact, you know what? You don't want to see it. Don't watch it. Or the if he continues to do it and it's a problem, just don't show it on TV. That's all.
Yeah. Listen, agreed on all counts. I'm rooting for Tim Tebow. I'll tell you one thing about Trevor Lawrence before we get off this topic. I want to do it before I forget. I read a Sports Illustrated article on him. And what bothered me about it is his lackadaisical attitude about football, and especially losing football. You know, his thing is, well, we losing. When I hear a quarterback say this, Jeff, it bothers me. I don't know if it'll bother you or you think anything of it, but I want my quarterback to have that wolf mentality. Every game means something. I got to do everything I can to win a game. And his attitude when Clemson lost to Ohio State this year in the playoffs, he basically said, I went back and looked at it, and I did everything I could, and we lost. So, you know, we just have to move on to the next one. And his attitude was, well, I love football, but if tomorrow I couldn't play, no big deal. And I got to be honest with you. I don't know if I said it last week. I'm going to say it on this week's show. I think Trevor Lawrence is going to be a bust. I think he doesn't.
You said that last week.
Okay.
You said that he was going to be a bust.
Yeah, I honestly believe that his attitude about the game of football, he's not going to, the New England Patriots or the Tampa Bay Buccaneers or I won't use Tampa Bay, the New Orleans Saints, teams that have been really good for a few years. You're going to a team that sucked for the last decade, other than a sneaky win that they had in the playoffs a few years ago. This is a team that sucked. I just have this feeling that this guy is not going to be the star that people think he is. So that's an opinion. I'll leave it there. If you want to expand on it, by all means.
I don't know, Tom. You know, they keep saying he's a once-in-a-generational talent and this, that, and the other thing. And that, of course, remains to be seen.
Sure.
Because now that you're rating him so high and you keep saying he's a once-in-a-generational talent,
right,
and then all of a sudden you're going to be like, he's the next Andrew Luck. So what does that mean? Andrew Luck, to me, wasn't all of that great because he spent just as much time off the field as he did on the field.
Correct. Very
okay?
true.
Not saying that when he wasn't on the field, he wasn't great.
Yeah.
But Trevor Lawrence, to me, he looks tall, lanky, and skinny. I don't know if I would really want him as a quarterback. You know what I mean?
Again, physical attributes, I don't know. I mean, I think the guy's got a lot of, he's tall. He's got a great arm. He's had a great college career. I have more problem with his inner self and how he portrays his passion for the game. I think being passionate, about the game doesn't have to mean that it's win or nothing or it's all encompassing. But I wouldn't want my, number one pick franchise quarterback to be saying, if I lose, I lose. I've done all I can. Let's move on. That's not the answer. That's not the conversation I would want to have with him. But who knows? Maybe he gets out there and he's inspired and he'll do well. I don't see it. We'll see what happens.
Either that or maybe he needs the wake-up call of being in the NFL.
Possible.
Is it maybe because he's in college
Maybe.
And, you know, like, or was in college up until just a couple months ago, that he turns around and he's like, you know, I'm losing is no big deal if I don't get to play again. And, you know, knowing that you're going to get up to the second level. When you get up to the level that you're at, and if there's no place in the NFL for you and you go elsewhere, Football League or one of these offshoot leagues, and it doesn't happen or it doesn't take over, ask Johnny Manziel how he feels about the NFL at this point. I bet you he'll have a different perspective and different outlook on it. And I'm not saying that Trevor Lawrence is going to be the next Johnny Manziel.
Yeah, no, I got you. And I got Jeff Towinski. I'm Tom Florio. This is the Hard Rockin' Sports Show. We're every Thursday night, 7 to, about 9:30 or so. We bring you the biggest news from around the world of hard rock, heavy metal, and, of course, sports each and every Thursday night. You can catch us on Facebook, our YouTube page. Please go to our YouTube page and check in with us. Again, remember, June the 12th, our good friends So High and Black Sasquatch will be at the Buzzbin in Canton, Ohio. So make sure you check out that big show from those guys. Lots of great music, and the world
Canton,
is open.
They're going to be at Canton, Ohio?
Yes, they're from the Ohio area.
Yes,
Black Sasquatch and So High will be playing in Canton, Ohio.
You know who else is in Canton, Ohio?
Who's that, Jeff?
Joe Namath. Yeah. Joe Willie Namath. You know who's not in Canton, Ohio?
Who, Jeff, who's not in Canton, Ohio?
Eli Manning, baby. He's not in Canton, Ohio.
It's only 3 or 4 more years, and they're already fitting the gold jacket.
They're already
fitting the jacket.
Okay.
Are you going to be like our friend Matt, who's comparing Tony Romo to Eli Manning? He's got to be kidding me with that one. We'll leave that for later in the show, maybe. But again, Raymond, guys, we'll be back.
I've seen bicycles that have been thrown more yards than Eli Manning is throwing. You got to be kidding me. Come on.
What
is it you're trying to get? The point you're trying to make.
Hard Rock and Sports, Jeff and Tom, we're here. I'm going to transition to a little music talk right now, and then we got plenty.
I'll find a way to bring it right
back. No, don't worry. We're coming back. I have plenty of football still to go. But I do want to talk to you about the Dave Ellefson Megadeth breakup. I don't know how up on this you are. Are you up on this?
Well, you know, evidently not as up as Dave Ellefson was, that's for sure. But I have questions and I have my own opinions on it. And one, regardless of how young the young lady was, if she was over the age of consent, what is it that he did wrong?
That's
other than the problem that he has with Mrs. Ellefson.
Again, agreed 100%. I said this on the Barstool and Band Talk show last night. A lot of people were okay with them firing him, and I said, I'm not. You know, if the girl is of age and consented, I tell you the truth, I think this is nothing more than Mustaine wanted to get rid of him. They said that there's been an issue in the band for a while, and I think this was just an opportunity because I don't know what Dave Ellefson did wrong here other than this woman shared this tapes with somebody else who put it up online.
First of all, Dave Ellefson.
Yep.
Okay. You want to talk to the girl? You want to FaceTime the girl? You want to do any of this stuff with the girl you want to do? That's all well and good. You are a man. You are going out on the road for a couple hundred shows a year. I'm not saying that it's right at all by any stretch. Don't get me wrong.
Yep.
Okay. It's what he did with his marriage was wrong.
Absolutely.
Okay. But.
But.
He does spend some time alone out on the road. I'm sure that this is not his first time doing something like this.
Right.
But if you're going to fucking rub one out in today's day and age with a video.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's evidently dangerous as Dave found out.
Yeah.
Put it that way.
But again, you know, I don't see what the big controversy for Dave Ellefson is. The girl is overage. She was a consenting adult. They didn't. I don't even know if it was video of much video of them together.
No, I don't think they ever met.
Yeah,
I think it was all done on FaceTime. But the whole point of it was just that Dave Ellefson was choking his chicken.
Yeah,
and supposedly I don't know what was said. I don't know, but they said that he was grooming her.
Yeah, yes.
It was he was grooming whatever that term really officially means, but it certainly sounds as though that he's trying to bring her along so that when they meet, that she'll know what to do and everything else.
Well, they were saying that they were trying to say that, yeah, she was a younger girl, and when he met her, he kept a close eye on her, kept her in the thing, and then when she got old enough, bam. You know,
now you know more about me, more about it than I do.
Yes.
Please explain to me what's going on there.
Yeah, so basically, I guess they must have met somewhere along the line when she was younger than 18 years old. They formed a relationship, a friendship, whatever you want to call it. And some people said that he manipulated, groomed her, so to speak, so that way when the time came that she was of age, he would be able to defile the young lady. And the young lady said that was not true. She came out and said, I'm totally of age. We didn't do anything when I was a kid, and he did nothing wrong, and we were completely consensual. So to me, at that point, if he's not going to jail, what's the problem with Megadeth?
Well, you know what? He was in the band and had left once before.
Right.
You know, I'm not a big Megadeth fan, so I did not follow all the ins and outs of that.
Right.
But, you know, I know that Mustaine has had something like 30 people pass through that band over the years. It's been a lot of different people.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what more to say. Like, if he was having a problem with Ellison and maybe this was the way to get rid of him, I don't know.
I think that's
but, you know, it does come back to Ellison, whatever you say his name. How young was this girl when you met and you started this relationship with her? You know, and out of all of the people that you do come across,
right,
you couldn't find one more age appropriate. I mean, you know, this is a guy that's, I bet you he's 56, 57 years old.
Oh, I would have bet 60, but okay. Yeah, no problem.
No, I don't think he's that old, dude. Okay. I don't think you're going to look it up right now. I believe he's definitely, I'm going to say 56.
Okay. I would have bet he's in the 60s, but you're probably more right than I am.
No, he's definitely not. 56.
Okay, you're on the money.
He'll be 57 November 12th. Because believe it or not, I got bad news for you.
Yeah.
A lot of these rock stars nowadays, they're our ages.
Oh, yeah, no. I got you.
We just think that they're fucking older because, you know, we've known them for God knows how long.
It's the truth. You're right. You're 100% right. But listen. If he was grooming her, is it immoral? Probably. Is it illegal? I don't know. I wouldn't think it would be as long as he didn't touch her. But is it wrong? Yeah. But if noble laws were broken, the girl's not suing saying that there was any problem. You know, and the big news was that they've had a strained relationship as of late. I think this was nothing more than Ellison's way of getting the guy out of the band. Not that he probably needed a reason, but, you know, because Mustaine seems to go through people like you and I go through underwear.
Well, listen, a lot of these bands, okay, especially bands like, you know, Megadeth and everything else that are probably corporations at this point in time.
Probably.
It's not the hard rock and sports band where, you know, like, listen, you signed up, you're doing three albums and that's it.
Yeah.
And one of them can't be a best of or a live album.
Yeah, right.
It's got to be three studio albums.
Mm-hmm.
So you may be contractually bound to doing certain things with these bands and whatever. You know, it's odd, but it is what it is. That's why Prince did what he did for so long. And, you know, call himself the symbol or whatever it is, you know, because he just, that's how he's doing it.
Crazy.
You know?
Yeah, it is.
And it's, you know, like when Black Sabbath was touring with Ronnie James Dio again.
Mm-hmm.
And they had to call themselves Heaven and Hell. They couldn't use Black Sabbath.
Yeah.
But they were Black Sabbath for how long? You know, it's just kind of odd.
Yeah.
But Dave Ellison, even if he was grooming this girl, say she was 17.
Yeah.
Okay, people are going to turn around and argue, but what was the age of consent? All right, it doesn't really matter. But Dave Ellison could have had a 17-year-old daughter. Does Dave Ellison want Dave Mustaine to be grooming his daughter?
No, I get you. It's immoral, but I don't believe anything he did was illegal. In fact, I think he's trying to file charges of revenge porn against whoever's put it up there. So, you know, do I think he's a victim? I don't. You put that out there. You do that to yourself.
Yes, but you know what? He is somewhat a victim
okay.
In my eyes. And the reason I say that is because let's just say that you meet somebody online.
Okay.
And you develop a kind of relationship where you're FaceTiming one another. And it gets to the point where, like, let me see this, do that for me, do this for me, this, that, and the other thing.
Right.
And you know, things have been going back and forth. You can't all of a sudden turn around and say, Dave says, I got a surprise for you. You ready for this one? You know what I mean? I'm sure it didn't work out that way.
I'm sure.
It led up to this.
I would agree with that, yes.
And then all of a sudden, somebody's filming this. And now,
what the hell happened? What the hell? Whoa.
But
sorry, Pop.
Wait for Tommy to
yeah,
come
I'm back.
Back.
Hold on.
Back.
Yeah, sorry. I don't know I have no idea what happened, but I got myself right back.
Well, what I was saying, though, is,
yeah,
is you know, bad enough, you were stupid enough to do what you did.
Correct.
But if you had no knowledge of being recorded and you're thinking like, okay, here's two people getting one another off via FaceTime.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, you know, you go on Twitter and you're like, what is this? You know,
yeah.
It's got to be shocking to say the least.
I would absolutely agree. But again, I don't see the controversy. I don't see the outrage. You go on Blabbermouth and somebody's other websites and people are outraged by it. I'm like, I just don't see the outrage. Even on the show last night, the guys were like, "Well, I understand. Get rid of for what reason?" So, listen.
I think it's because of the kiddie porn and sex crimes against kids is a fine line.
I agree.
You cross that or come close to that line, you're going to turn. There's no reason.
I agree.
There's no way back. There's no way back.
No, Jeff, I agree. And if he had crossed that line, I would agree with you. But nothing happened prior to the woman being of age. Is it creepy? Yes. Is it immoral? Probably. Is it illegal? I still don't see it. So my point is, yes. And you're telling me that Dave Mustaine ain't crossed the line a few times in his life? I'm finding that hard to believe. But
listen, that's kind of my point when you send a guy, you know, any man,
right?
Okay, out on the road for months at a time.
Yep.
And, you know, this isn't like, once again, this is not the Hard Rock and Sports Fan.
No.
Where we go out and play one or two shows a year.
Right.
You know, people that go away from home for months at a time and have things thrown at them.
Sure.
Oh, you know what I mean? Absolutely. Somewhere along the line, they got to be like, well, you know, I'm not going to be able to pass this one up.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's right. Don't get me wrong.
I agree.
But, you know, but then again, they know what they're doing. You know? Have your wife with you.
Yeah.
I
imagine a lot of the bands travel today with their wives and stuff where I'm sure, you know, 30 years ago, 30 plus years ago, they weren't traveling with girlfriends and wives. But
probably didn't even have a girlfriend. No reason for a girlfriend to be like, we're going to fucking Cleveland tonight. You know what's going to happen in Cleveland, right? You know,
yeah.
It is what it is.
Absolutely. Let's shift topics. I don't want to stay too long on that. Where do I want to go right now? Gene Simmons, do I want to go? First off, I don't know if you're watching the Knicks. I thought the Knicks played a great game second half last night. So congratulations to the Knicks on their first playoff win in about 8 years. And, Jeff, you know, I don't know if you watched any. Have you watched any of the Knicks? Are you paying attention to it online?
No, I've been somewhat following it online. It really hasn't heated up yet because it's the first round.
Mm-hmm.
But I've seen here and there it popping up on Facebook, people, you know, starting. And the deeper they go into the playoffs, the more Knicks fans that you're about to see.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So to me, I didn't watch it all year, so I can't bring myself to start watching it. I did watch it in the past when Ewing was playing, Michael and Scotty.
Yep.
But I mean, when they get a little deeper, if they get a little deeper into it, when I pay more attention, they're going to have no choice but to pay attention to it. It's the Knicks. It's almost historic at this point in time.
Yeah.
But the thing I'll say is it seems as though that we got a fun team to watch here.
Yes. They come to play every night. You know, they're not like some of these other teams where they don't play. They don't take the regular season seriously. The first game was a little disappointing. They were down, came back, and then they kind of fell apart at the end, and a good job by Trae Young and the Hawks to win that game. But last night I turned it on, and it was first quarter, maybe early second quarter, and the Knicks were down, and they looked like crap. They looked like crap. They were down probably close to 10 at the half, and I had it on the screen while I was on the show last night. And, hey, Rooster, how you doing, buddy? And Rooster's a guy I met last night on the Barstool and Man Talk show. Good guy. Reached out to me this morning. And, the Knicks had a resurgence in the second half and played some great basketball. When they're on the money, Jeff, they move the ball. They shoot pretty well. They play great defense. And they hustle. And that's what I like about the team. I think they'll pull out this first round series. I don't know about the second round, but I think it's house money.
There's no possibility they're going to win the first round because I heard that the Hawks were a good matchup for them.
Yes, they are.
That they are a favorable matchup, a favorable matchup.
I would say yes to that.
And it certainly seems that way so far. I mean, I know it's tied 1-1, but listen, this is the New York Knicks we're talking about. A couple of years ago, they barely won 10 games. What, they think they won like 12 or 14 games or whatever. And here they are in the fucking playoffs. You know?
100%.
That's a lot to be said.
No, it's great. I told you, I think if the Knicks ever make it to that, if the Knicks ever win a championship, they would burn, I bet they would burn the city. New York is pretty good that way. It's not Detroit or some of these other cities. But
it'd be sections in New York ablaze. But
I will tell you that this would be the biggest thing to hit the city ever. I've been through Yankee parades and giant ones, multiple giant Super Bowl parades. I've seen a Met parade in my lifetime. Nothing. The Rangers winning in 94. I don't think that if the Knicks won at anything else in this city would be as big. Nothing.
The only thing that I think would be close to being as big would be when the Rangers won.
Yes, I agree with that. That would be as close. Yes, because that was 56 years in the making, and it's getting close to that now for the Knicks. So
I'll tell you something: the Knicks win, the Islanders win,
yes,
or the Jets win. It's going to be big around here for a while. You know,
yeah.
These are teams that are approaching some milestones.
Yeah, you ain't kidding. The Islanders won their series against Pittsburgh, which I was happy about.
They did.
Yes, they beat them last night.
They're in the second round. Who are they playing? Do you know?
Boston should be a great series.
Boston,
yeah, should be a lot of fun, that series. Let me tell you something. Nothing better than playoff hockey. I mean, I know you're not the biggest fan anymore, but I know that for a while you were completely into it. And there's nothing. Like, you watch any hockey game in the playoffs, 5-7 minutes left in that game, a 1-2-goal game, it is great hockey. There's nothing better.
And it's a shame because at one time, I'm telling you, I knew so much about hockey.
Uh-huh.
A friend of mine is so heavily into hockey, it's unbelievable, that he would watch the New York Rangers, and they would have some trivia questions throughout the game.
Right.
And he was pretty knowledgeable, and he would call me up sometimes if I got stumped. And I would tell him, oh, yeah, this is this, that, and the other thing. He goes, oh, I don't think so. I'm like, I'm telling you, listen. And then a couple minutes later, he called me back. Yo, you're a dick. You got it 100% right and everything. I knew stuff that people forgot I knew. You know, it's just unbelievable, the stuff that I just got so into it. And then they went on strike, and I just, like, I can never watch this again and never watch it again.
Yeah, listen, it definitely made it difficult. Same thing for me for basketball. But, I'll slip on the Knicks on Friday night when they travel to Atlanta, so make sure you guys check it out. But they play good basketball. I like the way this Knicks team is. I love the coach. And we'll see how it turns out. But it's early. The only thing I don't like about it, I got to tell you, it's going to take 2 full weeks for the Knicks series. If they go 7 games – they started last Sunday. They don't finish until not this Sunday, the following Sunday to be, game 7. That's just too long for a series.
Why so long? Is it because of social distancing?
No. It's strictly now at this point, Jeff. It's a matter of just spacing out. The longer you keep it, you keep them playing. You keep people buying jerseys. You keep people showing up for things. So, yeah, it's 2 weeks for if you played all 7 games, it would take 2 full weeks. That's ridiculous.
Wow, yeah, I'd say.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. So other than that, though, good win by the Knicks. They need Randle. Has to have a much better game. He was horrendous in the first half, but played much better in the second half. You gotta love Derrick Rose, guys. If you're a Knicks fan, I wish he didn't have to play a lot of minutes. The guy's playing like he's an MVP again. Good basketball from a good team. I'm looking forward to that. The Nets are, I think, up 2-1 in their series. I think they're playing tonight or tomorrow night. I'm not really sure.
They should play tonight. If the Knicks played last night,
yeah,
they should be playing tonight.
Probably right. So you got the Nets. We'll talk a little Mets and Yankees later. I want to talk to you about Gene Simmons, though. I it's fresh in my brain. Now, Jeff, you're an outstanding bass player. We've played together when we were kids. The last 5 or 6 years, we've shared the stage a few times. I consider you a great bass player.
Thank you.
Do you want to get better, Jeff? Do you want to be a better bass player?
Yes, of course.
Okay. See, now I knew that. So I would like to offer, I would like to see you attend the Gene Simmons Masterclass, where he will teach you to be a better bass player and a good songwriter, Jeff. Jeff, are you ready to be in the Gene Simmons Masterclass?
No, I'm not.
But Jeff, it's just Gene Simmons we're talking about here.
Yeah, he's not a master bass player, bro.
Matter of fact, if
I had to make a race,
go ahead.
Some of the worst bass players that I've ever seen,
uh-huh.
I think that I would have to put in Nikki Sixx,
uh-huh.
Gene Simmons, and the dickhead from Poison. And then just
Bobby Dahl, correct?
Yeah,
yes.
And then let them go and see what happens.
You know, I'd like to think about that for a second. Now, I never considered Gene. I totally agree with you on the Nikki Sixx thing. I think Nikki Sixx is a terrible bass player. Bobby Dahl, it is what it is. Gene Simmons, see, I think Gene Simmons fits Kiss, obviously. Do I think he's a great bass player? I don't. Teaching a master class, I think, is an odd thing, but I'm sure it's a matter of the old dollar and cents thing. So, I just thought it was interesting that you could attend in Las Vegas a master class being taught. Now, is there, let's say tomorrow they announced that somebody was having a master class, not Geezer Butler, because that's too easy. Is there a bass player, and they said, hey, Jeff, you can come over to Susan Wagner High School and pay $400 to sit with what bass player for 4 hours to learn some tricks? Who would be the guy you would pay $400 to sit in front of?
There's a couple guys that I would consider doing something like that with. I mean, Steve Harris would be one.
Uh-huh.
Maybe Joey Vera from Armored Saint.
Okay.
Maybe Rex Brown from Pantera. John Deacon from Queen, of course.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Which sure. I know that's not going to be $400. I'm not stupid.
I'm throwing a number out there. But let me ask you a question. Who's
Robin Inez or Mike Inez from, I'm sorry, Mike Inez from Alice in Chains, where I was out, yeah.
Who's the bass player that you think is completely underrated from a band that you would never say the bass player is a stud? Give me the guy that's, we know that the guys you mentioned are all guys who are studs. Give me the guy you go, you know what? That guy's a hell of a bass player. You know, is it?
It's got a guy, I got to say, John Deacon from Queen. He's an underrated bass player, man. He does so much stuff. When you get a chance, just listen to what he does. And when he plays and when he doesn't play. He's just a phenomenal player. He plays, he's just unbelievable. Unbelievable. The stuff that he does, what he does, how he does it, just unbelievable. Awesome bass player.
Is it about the bass lines, Jeff, or the speed of the picking? You know, when a guy like Steve Harris, obviously the galloping, some of the fastest fingers of all time. What is it that sets a guy apart? Like the guy who from AC/DC, is that guy a good bass player? Is he, doesn't sound like he does a lot?
No, he doesn't. To me, he's a steady, solid bass player. And unfortunately, somebody like that, we don't know what they're really capable of doing because what he plays in the song. He plays for the song.
Right.
You know, Steve Harris doesn't play for the song. Steve Harris, I'm not saying he plays for himself.
Right.
He's playing because he has the ability to play.
Right.
A guy like Cliff Williams from AC/DC,
yeah.
You know, he's playing for the song. But a guy like John Deacon, when you listen to him play, it's the things that he plays. It's the times when he stops playing. It's a little slide that he slips in here and there. There's a lot of different things that he does while he's playing that, you know, just sets him apart from other bass players. I mean, is Geddy Lee great? Yeah, without a doubt. The guy's singing and listen to what he does. Chris Squire is a great bass player. John Entwistle's a great bass player.
Uh-huh.
But I think that when you look at those guys, John Deacon is totally overrated in my eyes.
Yeah.
Underrated, I'm sorry.
Underrated yes.
And overlooked. Not overrated. Far from overrated.
Far from overrated. Yeah, I would agree. Hard Rock and Sports, Jeff Towinski, Tom Florio sitting here up on the East Coast. Hoping you guys are having a good night and looking forward to a nice, great weekend. It's going to be a little chilly this weekend, guys, so make sure you bundle up here on the East Coast. And make sure you come on back next Thursday night when Morpheus, the drummer for the band Mojo Alice, stops by to talk to Jeff and I. He's a big rugby guy out of New Zealand. Looking forward to expanding the, you know, we're
Does he know how to do those things that the, what do they call those things that they like do at weddings in New Zealand, all them fucking guys where they're fucking like punching one another in the chest?
I don't know.
And there's like 50 of them.
You can ask Morpheus when he comes on the show. I think that's a great question.
Ask him to do one.
There you go. Maybe he'll jump up there. And
no, I was like, do one simple so that three of us can do it all together.
But Morpheus joins Jeff and I next Thursday night. Then the following week, we got Granny Forbarrow rejoining the Hard Rock and Sports Show. Been a long time. Yes, it's been a long time since Jeff and I hung out with the Granny. We've seen him live. We've hung out on his tour bus. I got to see him a second time. But looking forward to some great shows coming up here in the future. And we hope you guys will join us. But let's get through. Make sure, guys, everybody enjoys their holiday weekend. Be safe. Jeff's got to work, so he's not happy. And all of that.
Not only do I have to work,
yep.
Okay, but I found out something that they want me to do on Sunday. My boss starts breaking my balls,
uh-huh.
And he's like, wait to see what you got to do Sunday. And I'm looking at him like, what the fuck you talking about? He's like, oh, you'll see. Well, they showed me the pictures, and I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? Do you want this done on a Sunday? Why? What the fuck is wrong with you people? Like, what the fuck? Said, this is impossible to do. Are you gonna be fucking kidding me? It don't have to be done till Wednesday. Why not do it Tuesday? Why are we doing it on Sunday? On a fucking holiday weekend, you dickheads. What the fuck is wrong with you?
Well, do make sure you guys stop by the parks and see Jeff. He'll be running around out there.
You have to
go see
Stay
Jeff.
The fuck home, please.
I would imagine that this holiday is going to be huge because the restrictions are off in a lot of places. I know that things are very expensive now. They're getting very expensive to buy things out there. Food is way up. I'm going to be barbecuing with my wife. I believe we have a very quiet weekend other than driving to Sandy Hook, New Jersey to get our dogs groomed. But other than that, we don't have a lot of plans. So, but we'll have a good weekend. I hope you guys all do. It's going to be very chilly out. A little 60 degrees on Saturday, 50s on Sunday. So
50s on Sunday?
50s on Sunday is what I saw on my weather app today, which is usually pretty good. So dress warm and make sure you guys come on back next Thursday night when the Hard Rock and Sports Show resumes with Morpheus from Mojo Alice, who we opened up the show with their video. We'll be doing a lot of videos. So, guys, if you have a video for your man and you want to get it played on the Hard Rock and Sports Show, reach out to Jeff and I. Yes, and finale, how about the Mets? 17 guys on the injured list, faking their way through a very bad division.
17 guys on your fucking injured list?
They've had 17 guys, yeah. Their whole starters.
I know that. I was reading about Syndergaard.
Yes.
Syndergaard, and they shut him down for 6 weeks.
Powder puff, another powder puff. Yeah.
Wow.
Looks like Tarzan, plays like Jane. Hey, Finelli.
Damn.
Yes.
Man, that sucks.
Yes. He's been shut down again for he's had Tommy John surgery, and now his elbow's acting up. So, listen, the guy's been a disappointment since 2016, or maybe 18. And let's be honest, he has not fulfilled the promises. So, you know, if you're the Mets are depleted. They got, I mean, Jeff, everybody's hurt. Everybody's hurt. And then, but yet, not at the, you know, still in first place, bad division. Yeah, but you hang in there until you get everybody back. They're in first place.
Who they got? A little league team? How are they in first place?
You know what? I'm telling you, they are throwing it together. I mean, they straight for Cameron Mabin. I don't think the guy Cameron Mabin's had a hit in the last 2 years. They got McKinney from Arizona. They're just trying to just put nine bodies out there at this point. I think if you and I showed up with a glove and a cleats, they might let us play.
Really? Not bad, huh?
Yeah, but they got
a
great
game lead, too.
Yeah, they got they had a great game. Bob. They got DeGrom back, which was a good thing.
But you know what? Listen, that's deceiving because that 3.5 fucking games separate them and Washington for last place.
Yeah.
So I guess it could happen any second.
Yeah, I think if they can hang in there and start to get healthy again, you know, again, the division's not good. Atlanta has not lived up to what I thought they were going to be. Philly's dropped. The Nationals have not played well. Marlins have been better than people expect, but they're still not playing great ball. But good to the Mets. They found a way to win games. They got a couple of guys I've never even heard of. And they've gotten a couple of W's that they probably didn't deserve to win. But if you win it, you deserve it. So we'll see. The Mets, playing semi-good baseball. You know, the one thing I'm going to knock the Mets on, I want to knock the Mets on one thing though before I go away. And finally, I don't know if you listen to this. But so yesterday, there's this storm coming in the city. The Yankees at 5 o'clock decided to shut it down so people don't travel there. They don't get in. But the Yankees decided that you know they were going to cancel the game, play a doubleheader today, and move on. And the Mets, who for years have tried to change the people's outlook on them, does the usual. They wait till 6:20. People are in the parking lot waiting to get into the stadium. Now, they usually open up 2 hours before the game. They didn't do it this time. And they come out and say, go home. The game is canceled. People traveled there. And I totally disagree. And not only that, Jeff, I found that out that if you pay to get in, you don't get your money back. And it ain't cheap.
Wait a minute. So
if you pay to drive in. Yeah, no, not the ticket. I'm sorry. If you drive into the parking lot and pay for parking and they cancel the game, you don't get your money back for parking.
Oh, okay. All right.
Now, the game, I obviously that you can trade that in for a game down the line. That's, I don't think if they honored it today, but a bad job by the Mets. And if they ever want to get to be a real team instead of a Mickey Mouse organization, and that's how they're thought of, you know, Steve Cohen's got to do a better job, and you need to cancel that game early or wait it out and play it. But don't wait till 6:20 and then call the game. That is disgusting and typical Mets.
Wouldn't Major League Baseball have a time where, say, oh, listen, if the game is going to start at 7:30 and it's going to be canceled, it's got to be canceled by, say, 6 o'clock, 5:30, something
No, because you can wait till, you can wait till 7, 8 o'clock at night and wait the storm out. So, no. But if you feel that the storm's coming and you're not going to play the game, don't make people travel all the way.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, you know, if they feel as though that there's a storm coming and it's going to impact the game, don't they have to turn around and say, all right, listen, it's a 7:30 start, so you have to have the game called by 6:30 so majority of the people aren't here yet.
Nope.
Or something
there's
like
no,
that.
To my knowledge, there's no rule that way. But the rule, basically, no, there is no rule. So it's just a matter, like the Yankees decided, we're going to cancel. We're going to be cautious and not make the people come all the way out here for us to cancel it. Now, it turned out the storm wasn't as bad. And by me, it was 6:15 to 6:30, and it was gone. So, to me, they could have probably played them, but, the fact that you waited until 6:20 to cancel is disgusting, and Cohen should be slapped in the mouth for it. That's my opinion.
Yeah, it certainly sounds like it. I mean, you can't do that to people, and that's not cool.
Yeah, so we'll get to some Yankee talk. I want to do a little more football right now. Hey, Finelli, how are you, Finelli? Be careful tomorrow, Finelli. He's got to go get his little he's got to do his little checkup he does every year. Good for him. I'll be at work while Finelli's out there gold bricking it, as they call it. But that's okay, Finelli. Don't worry. You'll remember, I'll be there. Let's talk about Alex Smith, Jeff. You want to talk Alex Smith with me?
I don't know why. He's retired now.
Alex Smith has joined the phrase. Alex Smith, let me get my quote here. My quote for you, Jeff. I like to quote things because I like to do it right. By the way, I guess blew us off tonight, which is fine with me. Alex Smith said that the Green Bay Packers are disrespecting Aaron Rodgers. Now, Jeff, I can go on a rampage on this one, a tirade, as they call it. Tirade, Jeff, I tell you, a tirade. Now, do you want to go first, or do you want me to tell you why I think this is the biggest joke I've ever seen?
Well, it's quite obvious why you think it's the biggest joke you've ever seen. I mean, it is pretty sad that it's come down to what it's come down to, but, you know, listen, it's they're letting it happen, but I think Green Bay is handling it well and just be like, you don't want to play? Okay, that's it. We're not trading you. That's all there is to it. It's your career that's going down the tubes.
Yeah.
But I think that enough is enough now with these players who want to try to get their way every which way they can. I mean, fuck, Deshaun Watson has said that he still wants to be traded. 20-something women accuse him of sexual misconduct.
Yeah.
And he's actually still thinking he's got a chance to play this year.
I
don't understand that.
Yeah. Finale, by the way, I did bring Jeff back a shirt, not this Hulkamania one. I don't think Jeff's a big Hulk Hogan fan, so I didn't buy him a Hulkamania shirt. But I did get him a shirt. I have to, he doesn't want to see it until I hand it to him, which I will take care of shortly. Here's my problem with it.
Thank you for thinking about me, Robert.
Did the Packers disrespect Jeff? Did the Packers disrespect Aaron Rodgers in 2018 when they gave him a contract extension and made him the number one paid quarterback in football? Jeff, was that disrespectful?
I don't think so, man.
Okay. So
I think that was rather nice of him.
Okay. So now, in 2005, when he was drafted, there was another Packer quarterback, legend, by the way, there. Was it disrespectful that the Packers drafted Aaron Rodgers?
No.
Okay. So I haven't seen any disrespect yet. Let's see. Aaron Rodgers, when he got signed his big contract, said, "I love the Packers organization. I'm thrilled to be here. Our goal is to win another championship." Does it sound like a guy who's being disrespected, Jeff?
Definitely not.
Okay. So Alex Smith, I think when they broke the leg, they must have hit him in the head with it. Because
bone fragment
must have shot up his nose and impacted his brain. Because he said, why didn't the Packers go to Aaron Rodgers and say, "Hey, we're considering a quarterback in the first round. Are you okay with it?" Why does the Green Bay Packers owe that to Aaron Rodgers? Did they owe that to Brett Favre? No. Does the left tackle of the Green Bay Packers need to know and give his consent that they're going to draft another tackle this year, Jeff? Is that the way football's supposed to be?
Definitely not. But Aaron Rodgers did say in a very recent interview just the other night that it wasn't about Jordan Love. So he says that him and Jordan Love get together fine. They get along. They're friendly with each other. There's no animosity between the two.
No, should there be.
That his issue is with the general manager of the Green Bay Packers.
But why?
I hear you.
Why? Why does Green Bay owe Brett Aaron Rodgers the ability to go to him and say, "Hey, we're going to draft this guy today"? Why is that okay?
I don't think that they owe him that at all, because this is not for nothing. This is somebody that has won one Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Okay. Did he make it to a second Super Bowl?
No.
I think he did. Or no. Just the one.
Just the one.
To? You sure about that? They didn't lose one?
Nope. Not to my knowledge. The last one they lost was when Favre was quarterback.
Brett Favre?
Yep.
Okay. So here you are. You made it to one Super Bowl.
Yep.
I could see if you made it to one Super Bowl, but in the last 5 years, you were in the NFC Championship for five straight years.
Mm-hmm.
You made it to the Super Bowl once and won. Okay, this is a team that more often than not did not make it to the NFC Championship game.
Yeah.
And, you know, at 37 years old, if this is about George Love and the next quarterback, you're Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
Are you actually putting yourself in the class of a George Love?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Really? Yeah. Are you serious? If they want to draft a quarterback, why not?
Yeah.
All of these big-name guys, all right, maybe they'll be like, Tom, you're the quarterback. And I'm like, Tom, listen, we want to get this guy. He's 24 years old. His contract just ended. He's a free agent. We want to make a shot at him, but he's a tight end. Our tight end is a year away. His contract's ending. We're not re-signing him.
Right.
I know that you want another wide receiver. We don't see anything on the market that we like. We're looking at this guy in college. We got a couple guys in college. We might not take him, but we may take the offensive tackle, like you said.
Yeah.
But we're letting you in on the plans. Well, what are your thoughts? Give me your thoughts. But this is the way that we're going to do it. But we want to maybe you bring something else to light that makes us think, like, okay, he's got a point there.
Right.
You know, but more often than not, teams are probably going to do what they want to do anyway. He's a quarterback, not a coach or a general manager.
Yeah.
You know, I don't understand his point.
That's the point. Why do the Green Bay Packers owe Aaron Rodgers a heads up? Or why do they have to tiptoe around? They feel that there's a guy there that's going to help their team 3 years or 4 years or 2 years from now. That's their business. Nobody should go to the running back or the left tackle and say, hey, just a heads up, we're drafting another left tackle. No, we're going to draft the best players we can, and you're going to get every opportunity to go out there and win a spot. And if you don't, it's on you. That's the problem with football and sports today, is that there's too much pandering to the players. The players have no financial risk in this. And if the owners want to go out there and draft four quarterbacks, go draft four quarterbacks. He didn't turn down the contract when they offered it to him, Jeff.
You're 37 years old.
Yeah.
Okay? You don't know what's going to happen at 37 years old. You may step out on the field, go to throw the ball, and it doesn't even hit the fucking center in the back of the head and be like, I threw it as hard as I could. That's as far as it went.
Yeah.
It's over. You don't know.
No.
Not everybody is going to be Breeze or Brady. Okay?
Agreed.
Roethlisberger is showing that now. Philip Rivers showed that. Eli Manning showed that. Because this will be the second season Eli retired.
Correct.
Philip Rivers just retired. Roethlisberger is holding on to something he probably should have retired last year. This is probably going to be his last year.
Oh, I would think so, sure, yeah.
You know, at this point in time, you got Brady, who, you know, listen, maybe this year he comes out, he just had his knee scoped and everything, too. Mm-hmm. Maybe his knee ain't the same. Who knows?
Yeah.
You know, who the fuck knows?
Yeah, no, listen, I it just baffles me why players think that they're owed a heads up or have a say in who the organization drafts. Obviously, if you're the player, you're skewed. If you're Aaron Rodgers, I called you up, Jeff, and I said, hey, Jeff, you know, you're our starting quarterback, and we're going to make a draft pick this year. So we're either going to pick up another quarterback, or we're going to get a left tackle. You're going to say, hey, I want the left tackle. I want to be protected. I don't want another quarterback. You're not going to think clearly as the general manager, vice president of operations, and the owner. You're drafting players to help you for your future. I don't like the Jordan. I agree with Aaron Rodgers. I don't like the Jordan Love draft in the first round. I would have rather seen them go get a quarterback later. I don't think Jordan Love's ever going to be the starting quarterback for the Green Bay Packers. But having said that, that's their decision.
That's part of the thing, though, Tom.
Go ahead.
This is where I disagree with you.
Go ahead. Right?
If you're Aaron Rodgers, and if you're making this on any level about Jordan Love,
right,
then you're wrong. I understand why you're saying that, because you're like, you know what? If I had another receiver, it gives me another option. It's another weapon.
Right.
Maybe we win.
Yeah.
Okay.
I agree with that.
But if you turn it around and you're making it sound bad by saying, well, why Jordan Love? Why this guy? Why now? Well, why? Is it you're afraid? Can he throw the ball better than you? Can he run better than you? Can he read defenses better than you? Probably not.
Right.
He's a rookie
right. yeah.
in this league. Okay, so there is no danger of him starting. You know, so maybe you may want to turn around and say, like, you know, guys, listen, I could really use another quarterback. I could really use this. Please get me somebody else. Get me another wide receiver. Get me a tight end. I need a running back that could catch out of the backfield. Get me some weapons. I need some weapons. And then if they don't do it, then I can see, all right, fine. Now you're pissed off and you got your nipples in a panties
yeah.
and a bunch. But
yeah.
to announce on draft night
yeah.
that you want out is kind of stupid.
Oh, absolutely.
In my
yeah.
estimation.
Yeah, and I think he disrespected the organization and the fans. And listen, you know, 3 years ago when he signed his $30-something million a year contract, I don't think he thought he was underpaid because this to me is simple, simple. The guy's getting more money than him now, including Dak Prescott and Mahomes. And, you know, you can make the case that that Aaron Rodgers is still the best quarterback in the league. And he now wants more money. That's all this is. He wants more money. He wants to be in that stratosphere. And if I was Green Bay, I'd tell him, screw it, show up for work or don't get paid.
But let me ask you something.
Yep.
You're on Green Bay,
yep.
who's a perennial playoff contender.
Absolutely.
A perennial Super Bowl contender since
yeah.
you've been on the team.
Two straight,
where are you going?
Two straight NFC Championship
going?
Games. Yeah, you're right. Exactly.
Where do you want to go? You want to go to Denver and hope that you live through the season?
Yeah.
Have you ever been to Denver?
No, I haven't.
Okay. A few Colorado, Denver area,
yeah.
whatever.
Uh-huh.
Okay. A few years back, maybe 10 years ago.
Uh-huh.
My wife's daughter lived there, and we went there. We went to Colorado. We went to Aspen. She lived in Aspen.
Okay.
We flew into Denver. When I got off the plane, I was like, I can't breathe. Because there's no air.
Yeah.
There's no fucking air.
Yeah.
Okay. And then we went to Aspen. And I was like, you got to be fucking kidding me. I got to get out of here. I can't breathe. It felt like somebody stepping on your chest.
Really?
That you could only you could only take in so much air.
Wow.
You want to go there and play half your fucking games?
Uh-huh.
I know. I don't think that I would want to go. You know, this is a team that's been losing for how long? It's not that they've been 14-2 and got knocked out in the AFC Championship game by Kansas City for the last 2 years.
Right.
You know, this team ain't going very far. What's the sense at 37 years old to play the game in Denver, pad your stats?
No, I don't think he wants to go anywhere else. But I think it's about money. I think he's ultimately going to show up and play. Like right now, they're in OTAs. He's in Hawaii, but I think he will show up. He will play football for Green Bay, and I don't think Green Bay's got any intention of trading him. If they were going to trade him, they had the best. They had a really good trade offer on the table on draft day, and I'll tell you that I don't believe he'll ever be traded. So.
You know, listen, going into the draft, we discussed this before several times, okay, with certain situations, certain teams. Russell Wilson had an issue.
Mm-hmm.
He aired his grievances live and, you know, and before anywhere near the start of free agency and the draft.
Okay.
Okay. So it gave other teams time to think and be like, maybe Russell Wilson will become available. Maybe we could get him for this. Maybe we could trade for this. Maybe we could do that. Maybe we could do this. But all of a sudden, Aaron Rodgers turns around on the night of the draft. I don't want to play for Denver or Green Bay no more. I want out. Okay? Half these teams didn't have money.
Yeah.
Half of them, you know, already had their picks made up. Now you're going to ask a team that's maybe picking, say, 10th to now, like, okay, we have a chance to get him. You know, it's a lot to compute. You know
sure.
what I mean? And nobody's made, from what I understand, nobody's really made an offer yet to Green Bay, no?
I know Frisco did on draft night. It was the number three pick in this year's draft, Garoppolo, and I think a future pick, fourth round, third round, for Aaron Rodgers.
That's a lot.
That's a lot, yeah. You got a guy who could actually play quarterback in the league. You're getting the number three pick in the draft for a guy who doesn't want to play for you. I got to tell you, I thought that was a good deal. And I said, if you turn down that deal, you're not going to get much better than that.
No, I kind of tend to agree with
number,
you there.
The number three pick in this year's draft.
Sorry, hold on.
Garoppolo and
hold on,
future pick. Fourth round. That's a
what
lot.
The hell, what the
yeah.
hell? What the
you got
hell?
A guy who can actually play
hold on. There you go.
Sorry about that.
What the fuck was that?
Yeah, that was the Facebook version. I just checked over the Facebook. I must hit a button somewhere. And
it's quiet on that side tonight.
Yeah.
Where's Patrick?
I don't know. I don't know. Patrick, I don't see a lot of people that normally hit, but I have noticed there's been a few people popping in and out. So hopefully.
Now, let me ask you something.
Sure.
It's very important. Okay.
Yep.
Our friends over in Israel.
They're still with us, Jeff. 9.3% of our audience is from Israel.
Is it going up?
It has gone up. It has gone up a couple of percentage points each week.
Shalom.
So how could we
sit and shiver with us, man? It is a blast to know that there's people in right now in a war-torn country
yes.
that are taking time out of getting bombed.
Yes.
And worrying about getting bombed to sit and listen to us. They must live high in the mountains where there's nothing hitting them.
Yeah, right now, so our I'll tell you, Germany, we have 0.95%. France is up at 1.1%. Israel at 9.35%. Our friends in Canada, thank you, 14.26%. And, of course, the good old fresh in U.S. of A, 66.56%. of our audience is from. So, yes.
I will ask a question about Germany off to the side. But, wow. So what can I say?
Yes, we have quite the following outside of our country. I need to take a 30-second break here. So I'm going to play a little – let's see. I'm just going to throw a little banner up, Jeff. Give me 30 seconds. I'll be right back.
Okay.
At the Hard Rockin' Sports Show. Hold on a second. Where is it? And go.
That didn't last 30 seconds, did it? I don't know where he is, but he's probably crying about the Jets, I guess. The Giants, I mean. Sorry. That's what happens. It's just taking way longer than 30 seconds. I hate when he does this. Tom, can you hear me? Are you there?
And we're back here, Hard Rockin' Sports, Jeff and Tom. Sorry about that, Jefe. I needed to take care of a little of nature's business.
Why don't you have a bucket